Of August. Today we think of St. Augustine. The reading is 1 Thessalonica 4, 1-9, according to this day of memory. Finally, brothers, we urge you and appeal to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. We instructed you how to live in the way that pleases God, and you are so living, but make more progress still. You are well aware of the instructions we gave you on the authority of the Lord Jesus. God wills you to be holy. He wants you to keep away from sexual immorality and each one of you to know how to control his body in a way that is holy and honorable, not giving way to selfish lust like the nations who do not acknowledge God. He wants nobody at all ever to sin by taking advantage of a brother in these matters. The Lord always pays back sins of that sort, as we told you before emphatically. God called us to be holy, not to be immoral. In other words, anyone who rejects this is rejecting not human authority, but God, who gives us his Holy Spirit. As for brotherly love, there is no need to write to you about that, since you have yourself learned from God to love one another. Today we look with great joy at the conversion of St. Augustine, who had brought so much blessing to the Church. Yesterday we heard that St. Monica wrestled with her son, and we can be sure that her prayer and suffering for the son contributed to Augustine finally finding his way to God. He himself recorded this struggle in his book Confessions, which he wrote down after the light of faith had risen to him, and he understood, as the Apostle's word tells us today, how to live to follow the Lord. It was a long road for him with many steps. It was particularly difficult for him to overcome the desires of the flesh. The following lines now are taken from his book Confessions, from the 8th book of the 11th and 12th chapter, and give a moving insight into the decisive moments of his conversion. The very toys of toys and vanities of vanities, my ancient mistresses, still held me. She plucked my flesh garment and whispered softly, "Dost thou cast us off? And from that moment shall we no more be with thee forever? And from that moment shall not this or that be lawful for thee forever?" And what was it which they struggled in that I said this or that? What did they suggest, O my God? Let thy mercy turn it away from the soul of thy servant. What defilements did they suggest? What shame! And now I much less than half heard them, and not openly showing themselves and contradicting me, but muttering as it were behind my back, and privately blocking me as I was departing but to look back on them. Yet they did retard me, so that I hesitated to burst and shake myself free from them, and to spring over whither I was called, a violent habit saying to me, "Thinkest thou canst live without them?" But when a deep consideration had from the secret bottom of my soul drawn together and heaped up all my misery in the sight of my heart, there arose a mighty storm, bringing a mighty shower of tears, which that I might pour forth wholly in its natural expressions, I rose from Alypius. Solitude was suggested to me as fitter for the business of weeping, so I retired so far that even his presence could not be a burden to me. I cast myself down, I know not how, under a certain fig tree, giving full vent to my tears, and the floods of mine eyes gushed out on acceptable sacrifice to thee, and, not indeed in these words, yet to this purpose, spake I much unto thee. And thou, O Lord, how long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Remember not our former iniquities, for I felt that I was held by them. I sent up these sorrowful words, how long, tomorrow and tomorrow? Why not now? Why not is there this hour an end to my uncleanness? So I was speaking and weeping in the most bitter contribution of my heart, when I heard from a neighboring house a voice, as of boy or girl, I know not, chanting and oft repeating, "Take up and read, take up and read." Instantly, my countenance altered. I began to think most intently whether children were wont in any kind of play to sing such words, nor could I remember ever to heard the like. So checking the torrent of my tears, I arose, interpreting it to be no other than a command from God to open the book and read the first chapter I should find. For I had heard of Anthony, that coming in during the reading of the gospel, he received the admonition as if what was being read was spoken to him, "Go, sell all that thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come to follow me." And by such oracle he was forthwith converted unto thee. Eagerly then I returned to the place where Alypius was sitting, for there had I laid the volume of the apostle when I arose thence. I ceased, opened, and in silent read that section on which my eyes first fell. Not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh in concupiscence. No further would I read, nor needed I, for instantly at the end of the sentence, by a light as it were of serenity infused into my heart, all the darkness of doubt vanished away. Thence we go in to my mother. We tell her. She rejoiced. We relate in order how it took place. She leaps for joy and triumphed, and blessed thee, who are able to do above that which we ask or think. For she perceived that you hast given her more for me than she was wont to beg by her pitiful and most sorrowful groanings. For thou convertest me unto thyself, so that I thought neither wife nor any hope of this world standing in that rule of faith where thou hadst showed me unto her in a vision so many years before, and thou didst convert her mourning into joy. The moving testimony of St. Augustine, who came home to God after a long struggle, gives us a clear characteristics of true conversion from the path of sin to the holy faith. With all affection for God, or in other words, when the love of God overwhelmed him, Augustine finally let go of the old life. It did not stop him, even if he had to overcome later battles. A true conversion then leads to the concrete following of Christ. It is truly a resurrection from the dead. The Holy Ghost now continues to work in the converted and introduces him to his vocation. With St. Augustine we can see what has become fruitful. To this day, this grace continues in the scriptures, in the sermons, in a rule of order that he wrote for religious life, and in his example, which can encourage the seeker to look for the truth. So we close with a wonderful word of him. Late I loved you. Your beauty, eternal old and eternally new. Late I loved you. Late. It was late when Saint Augustine gave all his love to God. But thanks to the grace of God, it was not too late.
The Gradual, we hear, says, "The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart."